Before we begin this last conference, which will be about Holy Communion, as you know, the first night we talked about the holy sacrifice of the Mass, last night the holy presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Tonight we'll talk about Holy Communion. Before we begin with our prayer, just want to mention it was a great joy for me to be here these last few days at this amazing parish of St. Mary's, where so many wonderful spiritual things are happening. And you're really fulfilling the dream of St. John Bosco. Remember his dream? The two pillars, the Eucharist and Our Lady. And he saw this vision of the church as a large boat on the ocean, the Pope leading it, and there were many waves and many battles being waged. But as soon as he was able to steer the ship of the church and attach it to the two pillars, the Eucharist and Our Lady, there was peace. And that'll be the same in your life. When you anchor your life to the pillars of the Eucharist and Our Lady, you'll have peace. Peace in your heart, peace in your home, peace in the world. And that's why we're here this week, to adore Christ, to love Him, to grow closer to our Lord and our Blessed Mother. It's been also, of course, a great joy to be with Father Dan, your pastor, and the wonderful priest here of St. Mary's, and my good friends Jim and Jan Tassi, that I've known for almost 19 years now, since I was a little baby priest in diapers in Virginia. They've known me since the very beginning, so I'm so glad that they invited me to come out this week. Another joy this week was going to the school today. I got to do 3 juggling shows for the entire school, and it was, of course, I did not have my machetes and fire torches with me, which I juggle back in Virginia. But, you know, airport security is very tough these days. So it's sort of hard to get those things through security. But they were able to find many other things, basketballs and hula hoops and soccer balls and other things for me to juggle. But back at home, I do juggle the fire torches and machetes. My friend Lefty used to be able to juggle machetes. I taught my sister, now she's my half-sister. But there is a story about a priest who was a juggler, and he had his machetes in the back seat of the car, and he got pulled over for speeding. And so the police officer said, "You can't have those dangerous weapons in your car. I have to arrest you." And the priest said, "No, this is juggling equipment." And the cop says, "Well, get out here and prove it." So there we are on the side of the highway, cars whizzing by at 70 miles an hour, and there's this priest juggling machetes in the headlights of his car as it was getting dark out. And just then an old farmer walked by, and he saw this vision of the police officer watching this priest juggle machetes. He turns to his wife and he says, "Honey, remind me never again to drink and drive. I could never pass those new sobriety tests." So you can join me tonight in praying a Hail Mary to our Blessed Mother, asking her to lead us closer to Christ, present in the Blessed Sacrament. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Communion. The Lord teaches us in the Our Father to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Obviously, our daily bread stands for many things. It stands for all of our material needs, everything we need in body as well as mind and soul. And some of the ancient translations of this word, daily bread, refer to it as a super substantial bread. Give us this day our super substantial bread, which many of the saints, like Thomas Aquinas, see it as a prayer for Holy Communion, even daily Holy Communion. Lord, give us the grace to attend Mass every day and to receive our daily bread, the Eucharist. What benefits are there of going to communion each day? Every time we go to communion, we gain the following blessings and graces. First, we have a personal visit with Jesus, the author of all spiritual energy and holiness. The Eucharist is not a something, it is a someone. It's a personal visit with the Lord. I guarantee if people said, if we advertised that Pope Benedict was going to be here tonight, we'd have standing room only, right? Or when Mother Teresa was around, she attracted crowds of thousands of people, or Padre Pio. But the Lord is present in the Eucharist, and not as many will come out to see our Lord as they would perhaps a celebrity. In communion, we get a personal visit with Jesus, the author of all holiness. It's very sad when so many people say that they left the Catholic Church because they never had a personal relationship with Christ. Why was that? Maybe they were never taught about the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Because how more personal relationship can you get than receiving Him in communion? Scott Hahn, the great convert to the faith, who was at one time very anti-Catholic, who's now a teacher of Catholic theology at Steubenville, said that all those years as a Protestant minister, he loved the Bible, but it was like reading the menu. Now that he's a Catholic, he gets to participate in the banquet. Not just reading the menu, but he gets to participate in ordering off the menu and getting to receive the Lord that he's been reading about and praying to for years. So a personal relationship with Christ is most perfectly brought about through reception of Holy Communion. The Scriptures, the liturgy of the Word, enlightens our mind. The Eucharist feeds our soul. So we should never have people say, "Oh, I left the Catholic Church to join a Bible church so I could get a personal relationship with the Lord." We have the Lord here. If they don't have that relationship, perhaps they're not reading the Bible and truly believing that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. Second, every time we go to communion, we have a special increase in sanctifying grace, which makes our souls more pleasing to God. Grace is increased every time we go to communion. Third, we receive sacramental graces, which entitles us to special help in times of temptation and in carrying out the duties of our state and life. So you get grace, sacramental graces, by receiving communion. Fourth, we have an opportunity every time we go to communion to have all of our venial sins wiped away. A good communion, receiving the Lord with sorrow for our venial sins, can absolve them and wipe them away. Just like blessing ourselves with holy water as we come into church, that also, renewing our baptismal vows, that can take away venial sins. The confiteor at Mass, the I confess, can take away venial sins. Receiving the Eucharist, the Catechism says, can take away venial sins. Mortal sins, of course, have to be confessed in the sacrament of penance. Number five, communion gives us a special persevering and preserving influence with each Holy Communion, conferring against the fires of passion. Every time we receive communion, it can help us to battle against concupiscence or unruly passions. Number six, communion can remit a part or all of our temporal punishment due to sin. As you know, every sin comes with the temporal punishment. So that is, of course, the sin is forgiven in confession. The penance that we're given would help to remove that temporal punishment due to those sins. Well, also going to communion can help get rid of temporal punishment as well. The analogy, of course, is that people have often used, that let's say the sin would be considered like a nail. If you nailed that nail into this pulpit, well, and then pulled it out in confession. Confession is getting rid of the sin, getting rid of the nail. What's left in the wood? There's a hole there. There's damage done every time we sin. Well, the penance that the priest gives us in confession helps to fill that hole. And every time we go to communion, we help to fill up those holes of our past sins to make our soul ready to enter heaven. Number seven, we receive a spiritual joy. And Mother Teresa always said, spell joy, J-O-Y. J is for Jesus, O is for others, and Y is for yourself. Put Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. When you go to communion, you have received a spiritual joy and sweetness and the comfort that comes from a fervent Holy Communion. Number 8, that we will receive a greater degree of glory. Our bodies, our resurrected bodies in heaven on the last day, will enjoy a greater degree of glory. Instead of being a 50-watt bulb, will be a 100-watt bulb, right? The idea of every time we go to communion, we increase the future glory that we'll have in heaven. Don't forget that there are 3 aspects of the Eucharist: the past, the present, and the future. According to Thomas Aquinas, in the Eucharist, we recall the past, we recall the Last Supper, reminding ourselves that the Lord gave us this gift at the Last Supper. And then there's the present, when we get to attend Mass and be present at the Holy Sacrifice, and our soul receives the Lord here and now. And then there's the future glory, the glory that we'll have in the resurrection of the body. Number 9, the greater degree of glory we'll possess in heaven for all eternity. And number 10, when we go to communion, we can gain perhaps complete victory over some fault or passion, a particular grace that we've longing and been praying for, the conversion or the salvation of some soul, the deliverance of a relative or friend from purgatory, and many other graces for ourselves and others, both living and deceased. One of the greatest things we can do for our loved ones is to offer Mass for them, to offer our communion for the happy repose of their soul, and to pray for the conversion of poor sinners when we receive communion. Now, of course, when we receive communion, we have to be reminded, of course, that we should prepare to receive communion. See, preparation can make the communion more fruitful. Sometimes people say, well, Father, I've been going to Mass and communion every day for the last 40 years, and why aren't I a saint? Well, according to the writings of the fathers and the doctors of the church, even one communion could make a person a saint if they were properly disposed to receive all the graces that God wants to give them. See, the Eucharist confers grace, but only to the degree that we're open to that grace, only to the disposition that we have. If you pour water on concrete, it can't sink in. Pour water into sand, and it will sink in. So that's why some people can go to communion for years and years and not have that transformation of their soul. But somebody else can receive communion once or twice, like a Saint Francis can receive communion, and he could be completely transformed into ecstasy and joy by receiving Christ. That's because his heart is open to those graces. His heart is properly disposed. We get grace through the sacrament, but it's limited perhaps by our inability to be properly disposed to those graces that the Lord wants us to have. So some of the best ways to make a better communion is, first of all, better preparation before we receive communion. Obviously, getting to Mass early, reading the reading, saying some prayers, opening our hearts and souls to all the graces that God wants to give us. And then, secondly, reception of the Lord in Holy Communion, devoutly and reverently. Try to receive the Lord as reverently as you can in Holy Communion. And then, afterwards, thanksgiving, spending some time in meditation. After you come back from communion, Jesus is your divine guest. He's present in your soul. And they say that when the Lord is there, it's like somebody digging for gold. The gold is there. You just have to dig and dig and dig. And the more time you spend in thanksgiving, the more graces you can receive from the Eucharist. To receive the Eucharist, of course, we have to be baptized Catholics. We have to be living according to the commandments, to be in the state of grace, the state of sanctifying grace, to the best of our knowledge. If we're aware of any serious sins, called mortal sins, we have to first repent and go to confession to then be able to receive the Lord with a clean heart. We also have to, of course, fast for 1 hour before communion from anything except for water or medicine. So 1 hour before communion. Again, that's a way for us to prepare to receive the Lord more worthily. I found in my parish that A lot of people don't realize that in order to receive communion, if they're married, they have to be married in the Catholic Church. They have to be in a valid Catholic marriage. Now, if you're not in the valid Catholic marriage, go talk to your deacon, talk to your priest, and get married in the church. Sometimes it's very easy. Sometimes there's no previous marriages, and a couple may have been married civilly by a justice of the peace or in a Protestant church. They don't even realize that because of that, they would not be able to receive communion or confession for that matter. So they first need to have that marriage blessed in the church or validated in the church. And then right before that ceremony, they could then go to confession and then go to Holy Communion. Now, there are couples that, of course, it might take much longer. They may have to go through an annulment process, perhaps. Or many couples I know will actually decide to live as brother and sister in order to be able to receive the sacraments. That has happened many times, and it's been a great blessing for couples to be able to go to communion, to go back to the sacraments, sometimes after being away for years and years. So now, if somebody's not in a valid marriage, they should still come to Mass faithfully every Sunday, but they should refrain from going to communion until either their marriage is validated in the church or they decide to live as brother and sister and go back to confession. If they cannot yet, at this time, receive communion, the church says we can make a spiritual communion. I'm sure many of you are aware of this. That beautiful principle taught by Thomas Aquinas and others, that if you can't go to communion physically for one reason or another, you can say, Lord, even though I cannot receive you physically, come into my heart and soul spiritually and accept Christ into your heart and soul. So spiritual communion. You can teach the children this before they make their first Holy Communion. How should we receive communion? Of course, with great reverence and respect. And of course, be very careful of any particles or crumbs of the Blessed Sacrament that might be present. As you know, Jesus is present under every visible particle of the host. Just as if you took a mirror and you could see your image in that mirror and you smashed the mirror and picked up even a little piece, you could still see your reflection in that mirror. So Jesus is present, whether it be a large host, a small host, or even a fraction of the host. That's why we're very careful to purify the sacred vessels. So always, of course, receive communion reverently. And check your hands to make sure there are no particles and crumbs, and make sure you consume them. And when the Lord multiplied the loaves and the fish, it says afterwards he gathered up all the fragments left behind. Well, that was just ordinary bread. How much more so should we be careful of this divine bread, the Eucharist, and making sure we're protecting and consuming each and every particle of the sacred host. Lastly, I wanted to just end, of course, in talking about our Blessed Mother. Because, of course, she is our spiritual mother, the Mother of God and the Mother of each one of us. Well, how would Mary receive Holy Communion? Well, how did she receive the incarnate Word in her womb at the Annunciation? How did she receive the incarnation of the Son of God within her womb? Think of Our Lady's great faith. Think of Our Lady's hope. Think of Our Lady's charity. Think of Our Lady's humility, Our Lady's purity. Think of Mary's qualities and always try to imitate our Blessed Mother. When Mary accepted the Word of God, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us in her womb, she was the first person to accept Christ as her Lord and Savior. She said, Fiat. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. In fact, they say that's why Our Lady had to walk to the visitation, because she gave her fiat to the angel. Okay? The idea of fiat, let it be done according to thy word. So Mary accepted Christ into her heart and soul at the Annunciation. And then Mary became the living tabernacle. For 9 months, Jesus was living within her as a tabernacle. Mary was a living, walking, breathing tabernacle of God. She is the Ark of the New Covenant. She contained within herself Jesus Christ, the covenant between us and the Father. So Mary, was the first one to receive Holy Communion. She received Christ within her heart and soul in the Incarnation. And for 9 months, she became that living shrine. Imagine Our Lady then, adoring Christ within her, worshiping Christ within her, loving Christ within her. And these are the qualities that we should have every time we receive Holy Communion, thanking the Lord who's within us, asking Him for what we need, and offering reparation. We teach the children, those are the five kinds of prayer. They stand for the letters in the word altar, A-L-T-A-R. A is for adoration, L is for love, T is for thanksgiving, A is for asking what we need, and R is for reparation. So this is what we should do every time we receive communion. If you're not sure what to say when you go to communion, come back to your pew, kneel down, and go through altar. Adore Jesus, love Jesus, thank Jesus, ask Jesus, and offer Him reparation. So ask yourself, how would Our Lady receive communion? How would Our Lady attend Mass? Our Lady would attend Mass as she attended on Calvary, as she stood at the foot of the cross. She would be present at every Mass. How did Our Lady make the stations of the cross? Well, whenever we make the stations, we should think, how can we be like Our Lady in making the Via Della Rosa, the way of the cross? In fact, they say the tradition is that Our Lady began the stations of the cross. After Jesus died and ascended, people would see Our Blessed Mother walking through the streets of Jerusalem, stopping at the places where Jesus met His mother, where He met the holy women, where He met Simon of Cyrene. And they would see Our Lady standing and stopping at these different places and praying. Other Christians began to do this as well. And pretty soon, we had the way of the cross, the Via Della Rosa, the stations of the cross. So ask yourself, well, how can I be more united to Our Blessed Mother? How can I receive communion with the same disposition of soul that Our Lady received the Incarnate Word at the Annunciation? How did Mary receive Holy Communion? We know that St. John the Apostle took her to Ephesus, modern-day Turkey, and I'm sure would say daily Mass for Our Blessed Mother, and probably gave her communion each day. See, I'm sure that made Our Lady feel a lot more at peace, because it must have been very difficult for her to see Jesus ascend up into heaven. Their souls were as one. They were so close to each other that it must have torn Our Lady's heart to have Jesus ascend to heaven. At least now, because of her priest, St. John the Evangelist, she'd be able to receive her Son again and again and again in Holy Communion. So my last recommendation would be to make the St. Louis de Montfort consecration. That's a great way to become united to Our Blessed Mother. Pope John Paul II took his papal motto, Totus Tuus, from those words, I am all yours, my queen, my mother, and all that I have is yours. And in his beautiful document on Our Blessed Mother, he said, out of all the different Marian spiritualities in the Church, he says he highly recommended the writings of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. See, that book changed the life of Pope John Paul II. He read that book again and again. He carried that book with him in his back pocket when he was working in the salt mines in Poland. He said he would read a page a day of the true devotion, and it kept him sane. It kept him close to the Lord. So I encourage you to read and study the writings of St. Louis de Montfort. Read his book, The Love of Eternal Wisdom, The True Devotion, The Secret of the Rosary, The Secret of Mary, The Friends of the Cross, his wonderful books. And then pick a day and give yourself away. 33 days of preparation. The first 12 days, trying to rid ourselves of the spirit of the world. The next 7 days, growing in knowledge of self. The next 7, knowledge of Mary. The next 7, knowledge of Christ. And then on the feast day of Our Lady, you make your consecration. You write out or type out the consecration. And then after Mass and Communion, you come back and then you can read that consecration by yourself or with others. Then you sign it and date it. And it's a wonderful thing. when you read about the people that have made this consecration, it can really inspire us. People like St. Therese made this consecration. St. Pius X, Maximilian Kolbe, Frank Duff, Fidel Quinn, Alfie Lam, John Paul II, Mother Teresa, Matt Talbot, so many others made this consecration, and it made them very holy. So I do hope and pray all of you will prepare sometime and make this total consecration. It's not just a individual consecration of, let's say, one aspect of our life. It's a total consecration. Our mind, heart, soul, body, past, present, and future, all of our spiritual and material needs. We give everything to Our Lady, who in turn gives us to Christ. It's the perfect renewal of our baptismal vows and promises. And just one little story of total consecration. What does the word total mean? There was a farmer, and he took such good care of his animals. And so the chicken and the pig decided to make him breakfast. It was really the chicken's idea. And the chicken said to the pig, "Let's make Farmer Brown breakfast. I'll supply the eggs and you supply the bacon." And the pig said, "You know what? See, for you, that's a donation. For me, it's a total commitment." So I hope all of you will make that total commitment and give yourself to Jesus through Mary. And don't forget, whenever you receive Holy Communion, they say, receive that communion as if it were your first communion. Receive that communion as if it were your last communion. And receive that communion as if it were your only communion. God bless you.